Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
We have a vision, being essential. Once again, if you've not heard anything I've said the last 2 weeks, I want to encourage you to go back to our podcast and get caught up so that you're in on that. I usually spend the month of January every year doing the best job that I can in letting people know what we're spending the rest of the year really focusing on. I mean, I just think it's important that we have a goal. Now, with that, I don't want to wait to December to achieve it. I want to start achieving it right now, and it becomes what we live all year. And so January, I want to set that up. And this last weekend, a lot of the leaders, not all of them, but most of them in our church, went down to Hot Springs for a church ministries conference. And in that conference, a lot of different things were downloaded in us. And Matt, appreciate him getting up and sharing this morning what God had kind of spoke to him. And I gave a word this weekend, and I was one of the speakers that was able to share and help train and develop what God would have for people. And here was the challenge I gave our leaders this weekend. Go home and share this message of encouragement with your group. And so I asked them to do that. And in that asking, I thought, okay, I'm asking them to do something. And the Holy Spirit just really downloaded in me, you need to do the same thing. You've asked everybody to do something, you need to do the same thing. And I said, well, I've already kind of shared some of this. And I was trying to get every excuse out of my mouth not to talk about this after I just talked about it to a couple hundred people down there, and 40 of them were from our church. And I mean, God, how do I, 38, my wife's looking at me right now, don't exaggerate a number. I rounded up 38 of us. And so I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to do exactly what you asked me to do. And so you 38 that were down there, 37, because I'm the 38th. I count. Thanks, Deanne. I count. The 38 of us that were down there need to be amening and agreeing with what's said, if you do. You did down there. So I'm just kind of setting that up ahead of time. On March 15th, of 2020, I shared a message with our church, and I believe I shared it from my office. And there were 3 points that I brought up explaining how we as Christian people and members of Christian Ministries Church should operate. And I shared these 3 points saying that we are to not be like this world. And then I said, over the next period of time, and I don't know exactly what that is, but you're going to see these things, and we have to be different. Here were the 3 points. First, I said, we, God's people, have to live by faith, not fear. And I shared from John 14, chapter 14, verses 1 and 27. And the second thing I said, we are to be sacrificial, not selfish. And I did my best to explain what being sacrificial means as kingdom people, not living for ourselves. And I'm not going into all these. If you need, that's probably still on podcast from March 3rd. But the third thing is we need to bring Jesus, which will be a change into a world that right now is trying to change us in a direction that we don't need to go. That was March of last year. We're to bring a change. Now I just want to confess. I should listen to my own message. Because last year, I got selfish. Last year, I got a little concerned and I violated John 14, verses 1 and 27. And I don't know exactly how much change that I personally have brought into this world. Because I remember during the change that the world was trying to bring on us, I was ready to punch a few people, not share Jesus with what they said about me in certain environments. So let's just start out with John 14. John 14, verse 1 says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. This is Jesus being very clear. Don't let your hearts be troubled. John 14, 27 says, I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled and afraid. Don't be dismayed. I don't know if anybody else didn't violate these last year, but I am sharing that I did. My guess is I'm not the only one. But this last year, I've seen a lot of hearts troubled. I know that I've seen a lot of fear. And I've been aware that it's not just the world. It's God's people. It's God's pastors. It's God's leaders. It's the church. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 says, God also rescued Lot out of Sodom because he was a righteous man. He was in right standing with God. He was righteous. And he was sick of the shameful immorality of the wicked people around him. I understand Lot's frustration because I've been sick of the shameful immorality that I'm watching of the people around me. Yep, Lot was a righteous man, it says in verse 8, and he was tormented in his soul by the wickedness he saw and heard day after day. He was tormented in his soul, his mind, will, and emotions. I think Lot felt like punching somebody too. Why? Because he was tormented in his soul, in his mind. His mind, will, and emotions were tormented. I don't know if you've been tormented this year, this last year, but what I'm telling you is I believe that I'm speaking not only to myself as God shared this with me, but I believe this is God's people, and I believe it's the church. And I've caught myself over the last few months, trying to receive some news that I could get in my brain that I could believe was the truth. I don't know anybody else, because the torment that's going on in my mind has got to be alleviated, and God said he rescued Lot, and I believe that he'll rescue me. And I think he will you too. So here's what I did over the last year. I've confessed to the Lord. God, here's me. I'm tormented. I'm a little dismayed. I don't really know what's going on, and so I just don't know what to do, and I'm just... And then I quit praying about it and I'd watch the news again. I finally got to the point that I believed President Trump. Fake news. I don't know if anybody else here has finally got to that point. This is fake. You're not getting all the truth there. So then what I did was, is I looked for news that wasn't fake. And I saw some news that was coming in, and here's what that news gave me. Some hope. And some dates. So, okay, I can go with that. I'm all in. And then my mind got tormented by that news. Wait, I can't live in torment. I can't live being dismayed. And I'm placing my trust not in the national news that all seems to be fake. I'm going to put it somewhere else. And I'm listening all the time. And what I was doing was I was trying to get to a place in my life where I could just get some hope. But I was trying to base it on whatever source of news I could that could speak some hope and life into the situation that our country's in. Well, I just want to tell you, God got my attention. I knew something wasn't right. And it was because, really, of what I had preached last March. It was in me, but God needed to draw it out of me. And I know the word, and I know I'm not supposed to let my heart get troubled because it just kept coming to my mind. And here's what was happening. Okay, I'm not going to let it get troubled, and I'm not going to be in fear. But here's where I found my mind, will, and emotions. I found them starting to get numb. I'm just shutting everything out. I'm numb. I don't know what to believe. I'm numb to all of this. I don't know what's going to happen. And here's why. Because what I was desiring to see, I wasn't seeing. Basically, God told me, you are going to have to start seeing things for me. Not a political party. Not who is or who is not president or who this news source, that's news source together, Norse, that not this that's coming in. Oh, you can have some hope here. Just trust in this. If you, and God said, don't trust in that. But it came from a person who I highly respect. Don't trust in that. You better trust in me. You're trying to get hope from something that I didn't give you hope in. So why are you looking for hope in something that I told you that's not where your hope lies? See, it's not who holds the majority seats in Congress. And it's not the media. Now, I'm not telling you to stick your head in the sand and quit voting and we're not going to talk politics in church anymore. Because we got to know how to think. God said, look at what I'm telling you. Look at what I'm telling you. Look and see what I'm telling you. The same thinking that I gave you is kind of, here's what he said to me. The same thinking that I gave you when you were saved is the thinking you need to have right now. That was big for me. See, you never were able to see a change based on yourself. You finally realized your only hope is me. And you got saved. This was profound for me, and I'm not seeing it on your face. So I'm going to talk about it and hang out here for just a second. But the reason it was so profound is because there is nothing you can see on a news source that's going to give you hope for heaven. Nothing. There's nothing that you're going to find in any area of what the future holds for this life that's going to give you any hope that's going to be factual except for the Holy Spirit. And he's going to speak and he's going to do. It's just whether or not we're going to listen to him or we're going to place our hope somewhere where God said that's not where it's at. We put our hope in Christ when we got saved. And that should never change, but it does because we live in a world that tries to give you hope all the time in every area. So if there's going to be hope and we're going to have an opportunity for things to change, it's got to be an understanding of what God says and how he says to do it. Now, I just want to state something right here from the beginning. We are essential. We're going to be showing that all year. I'm talking about it the whole month of January, specifically setting up this year, and that's what I'm doing today. You need to understand why I'm saying that we are essential. It's because we are the first line of defense that God has for what's going on in our world. We, the church, are the first line of defense. You better see yourself as essential. If you don't, then I don't care what you're looking for hope in, you're not going to find it. You will not affect, you're not going to affect change by agreeing with what you see and hear. Boy, I agree with that. See that? And if that is what you're seeing and hearing, it's not going to happen. It's going to happen by you putting hope in an election. I hope my facial expression gave you what I couldn't get words out to say how ignorant that is. I'm going to put hope in an election. Really? No. It's not going to happen by any of that. It's going to happen by the church, you and I collectively setting the course. Now, we have been really good over the last couple of years blaming the church for what's going on in our society. Who is the church? It's you and I. So every time you start blaming the church, just say, yep, that'd be me. Well, I'm going to blame the church. And everybody thinks, well, it's the pastor's fault. It's what all the pastors are preaching. It's what all the... The church is you and I. People have given our heart and life to Jesus and committed to his way of thinking. We cannot, as God's people, keep living life and being the church and not affecting change, not seeing ourselves as essential. We've got to live with our hearts not troubled. Oh, I'm crying about what's going to happen. Oh. You got to quit living that way. Your heart can't be troubled here. You can't keep living in fear. And you can't keep living in torment in your mind because you're not hearing what you want to hear. I mentioned this on Wednesday night, and I just want to keep saying, and I'm not going to quit saying it on Sundays. Wednesday nights, we are just doing a Bible study on Proverbs, and I want to encourage you to be here. I think it will give you some real wisdom because that's what Proverbs talks about. It'll give you some real life application of how to operate. And so I mentioned this on Wednesday night. In church, you're going to have teaching and you're going to have preaching. And in your life, you should be teaching concepts. And other times in your life, you should be preaching concepts. What's the difference? Let me just give this to you. Teaching assumes that you're going to act. It assumes that you're going to act, so it imparts knowledge. See, that's what teaching does. If you went to our classes this morning, we have some great classes outlined for 2021. If you come early and be here at 9:30 and go to the classes, you are going to be taught. There's going to be teaching that imparts knowledge, assuming that you need the knowledge because you're going to be acting. See, it assumes you're going to act, so it imparts knowledge. Now, here's what preaching does. It assumes that you have some knowledge, and it calls us to action to use that knowledge to go get it. So there's some preaching that goes, go get them, sick them, boys. A dog that you say sick them to already has the knowledge to know what he's sicking. I don't know if that made sense in my brain. But you don't say sick him to a dog that don't know anything. I tell my dog, sick him. And my dog goes, not me. Ignorant dog. If you sit under preaching and don't sick him, we've got some ignorance going on. So you better have some teaching and preaching. If you just sit under preaching all the time, if I'm going to sit under preaching all the time, you can know that preaching's saying sick them. Go get it. Get after it. But you don't have the knowledge to go get it. There's some problems. So I want to today do some teaching and preaching collectively because some of you, at least 38 of you, have heard some of what I'm talking about. This right now ought to be all preaching to you, but to others that may not got it, this may be teaching. Whatever it is, we've got to get some people sicking. We got to get some people getting after this. So we first got to get to a place in our lives, we've got to get to a place where we are in a plan. We have a plan. I can tell you the enemy is planning. And right now the church needs a plan. And if we're going to be essential, we got to get a plan and how we're going to do this and where we're going to start. Each week, we're going to be committed to the teaching of God's word and the preaching of God's word. Preaching collectively, we all go out and we get after the same thing. Each week, that's happening right here. So come and get equipped to do what God's called us to do. Minister collectively wherever you are to get some people to do what you're doing. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, just real quick. These are the gifts that God gave the church. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Now, the reason we're coming to church, and I know I'm preaching to the choir right now, but I want you to understand why it's important that we're not the, this isn't the only choir that this church is going to be speaking to. This choir is a growing, moving choir. And every week, Sundays and Wednesdays, we have the gifts bringing to the church. Because it says in verse 12, the responsibility of those bringing to the church. The responsibility is for them to equip God's people. Who would that be? You and I. To equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. What I can tell you is every week this church ought to be being built up. Now in the King James, New King James, it says in verse 12 that their responsibility is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry and for edifying the body of Christ. As God's people, the fivefold ministry should be continually equipping you and I to build up the church, to edify the church, and to do the work of the ministry day in and day out, not just Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. So I ask you, how are you doing with that? Who's here because of you? Do you see anybody on your daily life and routine that is not here this morning? Let's not talk about that. Absolutely, we all do. What are we doing to build up the body of Christ? What are we doing to edify the body of Christ? What are we doing to minister outside of here? See, if we're ministering outside of here, you can know that will edify the body of Christ and it will build up the church. I'm saying by the end of this year, this church ought to be built up. And I'm not going on this big campaign to go get a ton of people here. I'm trying to build the people that are coming to do what the Bible says we're to be doing. It's important. Now, I'm not talking about taking people out of their church they're already in. That's not what I'm talking about. But there's enough people in our day-to-day walk that aren't involved with the church anywhere. And so I want to encourage you. There are several things right here that I believe would provide some unity if we just have God's people quit putting down the church. If we're going to build up the church, that means you can't be putting it down. Well, it's the church's fault where we're at, is it? I'm the church. You don't go around and say, I'm just dumb. I can't do anything. I'm not. You don't do that. So don't do that because you're a part of the church. So what's our plan, Pastor? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Here we go. Here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Here's the plan. God shared this with me this past year, and it's imperative that we all know this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, I exhort or urge, first of all, this was Paul. Here's what he said. First of all, first thing you do. Here's what I'm going to tell you, church. Here's the first thing you do. Pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. What does all mean? All. But I don't like so-and-so. Yep, but they're still part of all. Yeah, but you don't know how they treated me last. Yep, but they're still part of all. Pray for all people. We got to be praying for each other. And then it goes on in the next verse to say, pray this way for kings and all. What's all? All. All people who are in authority. Yeah, but I don't like. Yep, but he's in authority. Well, I don't like this. Yep, but they're in authority. Pray for all people. Pray for all people. So what do we do first? We pray. I ask how we're doing with that. We'll pray before a meal, or if you won't, you might start there. And every time you eat, you're praying for all people. Every time you come and you just do something, we're going to pray for all people. It's part of our plan. Pray first. Pray first. Paul said, pray always. Pray all the time. What are we praying? Praying for people. The real kingdom prayer sets the stage for everything else that's going to happen. Anybody remember Desert Storm? I remember a lot about that. It was just at a point in my life where I was watching what was going on. And I don't know if you remember the whole story of what happened with Desert Storm, but all the allies, they joined forces and they went in with an air force that was phenomenal. And they bombed the airports, the tanks, they got the strongholds. And before the ground troops ever came in, here's what the allies had. They had air superiority. Now, that story has always amazed me, because before the ground attack ever happened, before the troops came in, the process had already been, we got it won. Why? Because we had air superiority. Prayer allows for air superiority. Before the troops come in, before the troops... there's air superiority. You sitting here praying for what you're wanting, you better get air superiority and you better make sure you understand kingdom prayer. Well, what does that mean? I've already prayed, Pastor. I've already prayed. Let me give you an understanding of prayer, because Paul said many times, brethren, pray for us. And I love that word in Scripture, brethren, brethren. We can say brothers, brothers, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us, pray for us. I think Paul was understanding that prayer really does something. See, prayer really was going to do something in his life. He was asking for it because I believe, as you read Scripture, Paul did some things that were real miraculous, and I believe that he thought prayer was the reason. It unleashed the power of God into a situation. So I ask you this, how do you pray? How do you pray? You've got to get to a place where when you pray, you exalt God in your mind. In the morning, I'm in my office every Sunday before I come down here. On Wednesday nights, I'm in my office praying. Before I speak, before I do something, I'm praying for air superiority, because I am the ground troop that's coming in, and I can tell you that I need air superiority before I open my mouth. Before I come in and do anything, I need air superiority. So I'm in the office and I'm praying. And in that prayer time, I'm exalting God's name above this situation. Air superiority. I'm believing Him for the supernatural. And I'm in there. And then I get in my prayer time, and sometimes I'll just start singing. And there's an old song, and some of you go, well, this is really old. Yeah, I get that. There's some old ones that I sing. I don't sing many new songs, because the old ones I've sang so long, I remember them. The new ones, I have to think too much, and I'm thinking about God. So I'm in there, and I'm thinking, and I'm singing, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, oh Lord. And every once in a while, I get going really loud, and I'm going, oh, calm down. Justice and Johanna live right above me. I don't want them to freak. What is Pastor doing? But then I don't care. I'm just going to sing. Maybe it'll put their baby to sleep. I'm going to say it's going to make them cry or something. But I'm up there and I'm exalting the power of God in my mind. I'm putting Him to... See, He's already there, but I need to get Him there in my mind. He's above everything else. You can say that, or you can get Him there in your mind. And then in that prayer, here's what I do. Because He's far above everything else, and I start seeing Him above everything else. Oh, God, what's happening? And He goes, you guys know this. God is not going, oh, no, right now. So I'm exalting God because He's not. And then as I'm exalting Him, here's what happens. I then see myself right there with Him. Whew. So many times we're exalting the name of Jesus and we're seeing him where he is. We're seeing God over everything, but we don't see ourselves there with him. So I exalt myself there to be with him. And then I see myself as being very essential in this situation. You got to see yourself with God. Father, what is on your heart? What is on your mind? And then it's from that standpoint that he starts downloading into me. And I'm like, oh man, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the head, I'm not the tail. I'm blessed in. That means when they open the door for me and say, here, you want a mask? I'm blessed whether I put it on or not. I'm blessed whatever I'm doing. I'm telling you, I'm the head, I'm not the tail. I'm more than a conqueror. I am seated at the right hand of God, right there with Jesus. And I'm interceding for all these people. I'm doing what God's called me to do. And I'm like, whoo, I can. And then I go back out and I'm like, wham, 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 and I'm getting hit all over. And well, I have air superiority in Jesus' name. Here, see, how are you going to God in prayer? Well, I prayed. Scripture's got to impact us and cause us to live different. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. The Lord took hold of me. Boy, I love this. Ezekiel said, the Lord took hold of me and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. I want you to know, where God carried Ezekiel to, he took him to this valley where bones are scattered, separated. Different translations say, dried out, no life, dry, 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 dehydrated, dry. Bones scattered, separated. And God asked him a question. Let me just tell you, as you look at what's going on in our world, God has shown me over the last year this same valley. I'm seeing God's people separated, dried out, looking like they're of no use. And if we don't see ourselves as essential, then that's how we see ourselves. And God took them and said, look, 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 I'm going to show you all this. And in verse 3, it says in Ezekiel 37, he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? Ezekiel said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know the answer to that. You're the only one who knows. Now, I just think of what was going on in Ezekiel's mind. O sovereign Lord, you alone know the answer to that. What he's saying is, I'm not saying what I'm seeing. Ezekiel is thinking, not according to what I see, but he was real careful not to allow that out of his mouth. Even in his own vision, as God was planning this. And so Ezekiel said, you are the only one who knows. Today God is saying, hey, well, look around. What do you see? And it described what Ezekiel was seeing. I don't have to describe what you're seeing because we've all seen it. Look around. Look around. What are you seeing? What is happening in our nation right now looks horrible. And I've been real quick to try to jump on any type of news that will make me see it different than what I'm seeing. And I think that's a good thought. I want news that's different than what I'm seeing. So God's asking you today, are you okay with what you see in America? God's asking you today, are you okay with? He says, look here, see, what do you see? I'm taking you to look at all this stuff. Look at it. What do you see? God's asking you, can you see this? And then here's the next question. Can things change? Can things change? Can things change? Yeah, because I've got a different news source that says something different. You do? Yeah, I'll send you a video and show you. Now, I'm not throwing that under the bus, but what I'm telling you is that's not where I'm putting my hope. Can things change? Hey, Jeff, can things change? See, God's, hey, Chico, what do you think? Can things change? It's not just the church collectively that he asked Ezekiel specifically. What do you think, Mason? Can things change? Caleb, what do you think? Can things change? You got to know, I'm not asking this collectively. I'm asking it individually because God asked it individually. Can things change? Hey, Tim, what do you think? Can things change? Are you going to be able to see it different than it looks right now with your natural eyes? And the answer is no. He was caught up in a vision that God took him to, that God placed him in. I'm watching the news and I'm just hoping something will be said. I mean, I'm even listening to good news sources. And I'm hoping something that will be said. And listen to something that could be done that would just put a different spin on things. And I'm trying to find something online that will give me some hope. And I'm trying to read what all the hope givers online are giving me. And I'm just realizing that there is no hope that I can find online. Well, wait, you haven't seen this. You haven't heard this. Hey, I'm just telling you, it's very dry and everything seems scattered, torn apart. Opinions, attitudes, news, nothing is right. And I ask you right now, is that not how it looks in your life in every circle you're in? Absolutely. You got to be careful because before long, your heart gets dismayed. Before long, you're just, so upset. I just don't know what's going on. I'm in torment. Okay, I'm just numb. But Ezekiel said, God, only you know. So what did Ezekiel do? Here's what Ezekiel did. In verse 4, he heard God. He heard God. Church, we've got to hear God. And right here is God's word. In verse 4, he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. Listen to the word of the Lord. That's what I want to say to our nation. That's what I want to say that to some physical bodies. I want to say that to some finances. I want to say it to some churches, and I want to say it individually to God's people because Ezekiel had this figured out. He turned his ear in the right direction and said, God, only you know. And God said, hear the word of God. Hear the word of God. Speak a prophetic message to these bones. God said, speak a prophetic message. You and I are the voice that carries the voice of God. You and I are the voice that carries the voice of God. God chose to use Ezekiel to do this. God has chosen to use his people to do this. You and I are that voice. We got to stop this hopelessness. Okay, God, everything looks separated and dry. So I heard God say, prophesy to this dry, separated pile of bones. Prophesy. Prophesy to this nation. Dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. America, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you. I'm going to make you live again. I'm going to put flesh and I'm going to put muscle on you and I'm going to cover you with skin. I'm going to put breath into you and you're going to come to life and you can know that I am the Lord. That is what God says. Thus saith the Lord. Ezekiel started getting a vision. Things started coming together in his head. What are you speaking right now? What's coming out of your mouth every week? Is it another this? Is it another that? It's hold on. We have some hope because of this. We have hope because we can prophesy the word of God. That's why we have hope. Forget about your personal wants right now. That's not first. Prayer is first. And exalt in the name of Jesus. We need to be saying and speaking the word of the Lord. You speak what's on God's mind right now. Something we can work with. Come on, we need an army. Air superiority first, and then we need an army marching in and speaking the word of God. We may need some people walking around the city and being quiet and then shouting with their words right at the right time. See, well, I don't know what it is that, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Matthew 16:9. Oh, I'm getting carried away. Let's calm down. Matthew 16:19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Church, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we don't want, you can just know that. Whatever we allow is allowed. Romans 14:17 gives us the key to how to operate based on Matthew 16. Matthew 16:19 says, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. Romans 14:17 says, here's what the kingdom of God is. It's not a matter of what you eat and drink, but here's what it is. It's a life of living goodness, peace, and joy. Goodness, peace, and joy. Let me just tell you, when you don't have goodness and you don't have peace and you don't have joy, you have dismay. You have your heart troubled. But when you got goodness, peace, and joy, I can tell you, your heart's not troubled. So let me just keep going with this. If you have the keys of the kingdom, then we ought to be binding anything that's not the goodness of God here on this earth. How? Through our prophetic message that God gave us to give. The kingdom of God is goodness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says in Romans 14:17. It's living it. It says living a life of goodness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Is that what you're living right now? Well, friends, you can know then it can change. It can change for you. You're essential. So what are you seeing right now? I'm seeing a valley of dry bones. I'm seeing unrighteousness. I'm seeing chaos. And I'm seeing dismay. That's not good. That's not peace. That's not joy. But that's the life I'm supposed to live is to be of goodness, peace, and joy. So as I'm seeing that, I'm seeing that's not the life I'm called to live. So what are you going to do? I'm going to prophesy in the Spirit. I'm going to prophesy in the Spirit. I'm going to prophesy in the Spirit. Are you going to agree with what you're seeing? Are you going to agree with the separated, scattered life? Are we going to agree with the family who is separated, scattered, and dry? No. So my family's got to come in line, and we've got to have goodness. We've got to have peace and joy. Are you going to agree with the church family that's separated? Nope. And we haven't been doing that. That's why we see a unity starting to form like I've never seen before. Are you going to agree with a work environment that's scattered and dry? Nope, I'm not going to agree with that. I'm not going to agree with a city council and a mayor who is totally overstepping their boundaries. I'm not going to agree with that. It's separated and dry, so what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to look for some other hope in the news. How's that working for you? Am I going to agree with my state leaders? Am I going to agree with my country right now? Separated, scattered, dry? Or are you going to prophesy what God says? What God say? Kingdom of God come, will of God be done. There are things that are not of the kingdom of God, and the only hope for them to stay like they are is for the church to stay like they are. We're not going to stay here anymore. We're getting ready to see a change. You and I are it, and we have an assignment. I'm declaring right now life, goodness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm declaring that. So first I'm going to pray. I'm going to get my mind wrapped around what God said, and then I'm going to speak. Ezekiel 37. Let me end this. So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly. What's suddenly? Instantly. As I spoke, there was a rattling noise across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies. It says, but they still had no breath in them. It's an important part. Ezekiel prophesied what God said to prophesy, but there was still no breath. Keep reading in verse 9. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds. Let me just tell you, O breath represents the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, from everywhere. The four winds, and breathe in to these dead bodies so that they can live again. Prophesy the breath back into the life of those that are in need. So I spoke this message as he commanded me, and praise God, breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and they stood up. They stood up on their feet. And here's what it says, a great army.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.